My subject for this evening, as we have already said, is the rescue of a fallen brother. This is based on the words of verse 14 of Genesis 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Although Lot, Abram's nephew, was a very rich man, yet there was a great lack in Lot's life. There was a lack in his life that was of more value than all that he possessed. For when we examine the life of Lot, the nephew of Abraham, we discover that Lot was void of godliness and spirituality. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, that godliness with contentment is great gain. And yet with all that Lot gained, it would appear that he had not gained godliness and spirituality. It appears that while he may have gained other things, there were few signs that Lot was a spiritual man. Because Lot was so weak spiritually, it was necessary for him to lean upon one who was stronger spiritually than he. That one, of course, was Abraham. It is very evident that Lot, while he was with Abraham, leaned heavily upon him. This can be seen in a number of references. If you look there at Genesis 12, Genesis 12 and verses 4 and 5, and Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Verse 5, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered. Now look at chapter 13. 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. Now look at verse 5 of Genesis 13. And Lot also, which went with Abram. And so we can see here from these verses just how much Lot depended on Abraham. Abraham, a man who was strong in the faith, gave support to a weaker brother. This, of course, is what the Lord would have us do. Romans 15, verse 1. There Paul declares, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Paul also exhorted the elders at Ephesus with these words, I have showed you all things, For that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20, verse 35. So we can see the importance of giving strength or giving support to the weaker brother. Then sometimes we discover that when the weaker brother separates himself from the stronger, we discover then that the weaker brother in many ways makes shipwreck of his life. For here we see Lot divided from Abraham. The two men had to separate the one from the other. This spelt disaster as far as Lot was concerned. Look at verse or chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my brethren and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. And then verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. The one source of spiritual help and support was now taken away. And as we've already said, it proved to be a disaster for Lot. For none of us, no matter how strong we are spiritually, none of us can afford to be without the fellowship of the people of God. Paul knew this when he penned the words to the Hebrew believers. In Hebrews 10, verse 25, there he wrote, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You see, believer, we cannot afford to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. We need the fellowship of God's people. The spiritually weak Christian that neglects this duty will make spiritual shipwreck of his life. Once Lot comes out from the shadow of Abraham, once Lot separates from Abraham and no longer is able to lean on Abraham and get support from Abraham, well, we discover just how weak, spiritually weak, Lot really was. Because the next thing we note about Lot is Lot and his decision. The decision Lot made that day when he separated from Abraham, that decision changed Lot's life forever. One decision can change the whole course of a person's life. And if it's not the right decision, then like Lot, we're in danger of making spiritual shipwreck of our lives. Look at chapter 13 again, verse 10. Here you have Lot's decision. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Here was Lot's decision. Everything that he saw pleased him well. Note again, verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Lot believed that this was a very advantageous place for him to pitch his tent. Saw that it was well watered. But you know, I believe that was only a secondary reason for Lot choosing that place. Look carefully again at verse 10. He saw that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. That's why he chose that place. Remember, he had been in Egypt along with Abraham. He had got a taste for Egypt. He hadn't really come out of Egypt. So when he saw that place, he saw that it was like the land of Egypt. And I believe that's why he chose it. This was as near to Egypt as he could get. Just like the worldling. The worldly Christian wants to live as near to the world as they possibly can. Still have a hankering after the world. They're like Lot's wife. Lot's wife couldn't leave worldly, ungodly Sodom and Gomorrah. She kept looking back. And really her husband here was looking back to Egypt. It was there then that he pitched his tent. The weak, fleshly Christian will always want to be as near to the world as possible. What did Abraham do when he had to make a decision? Look at verse 14 of chapter 13. And the Lord said unto Abram, where's the difference? Lot didn't bother waiting for a word from the Lord. Abram waited for a word from the Lord, and we read that the Lord said unto Abram after Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look. The two men lifted up their eyes. For we read that in verse 10, Lot lifted up his eyes. And then Abram lifted up his eyes. The only difference was, Abraham looked by faith. He couldn't really see all the Lord had in store for him. But Lot looked by sight. The land was well watered. It was just like Egypt. But when Abraham lifted up his eyes, Abraham looked by faith. He looked in the direction the Lord wanted him to look. And that was the place that he chose. Then we read that Lot pitched his tent there at Sodom toward Sodom. Verse 12, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. While Lot dwelt there, this is emphasizes the price that Lot had for not waiting upon the Lord. It was the price that he paid. Whenever he pitched his tent in Sodom, King Kedar Laomer went out against the king of Sodom and defeated him. And we read then in verse 12, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Lot had chosen the wrong place. He had now been taken captive. He had chosen the wrong place for a number of reasons. Whenever Abraham chose the plains of Mamre, what was the first thing Abraham did? We're told at the end of chapter 13, and Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Lot couldn't build an altar unto the Lord where he went to. Lot was living amongst the ungodly, wicked, sinful people. Abraham built an altar unto the Lord, and there he was able to worship God. Lot never even thought about choosing a place where he would be able to worship God. You know, I must confess tonight that's something I do not understand. Whenever God's people decide to move house, set up home somewhere else, they never seem to ask the question, I wonder, will I be able to worship God there? Is there a Bible-believing church there that I can go to and I can bring up my family and worship the Lord there? Never entered Lot's head. How costly it was for Lot, and we know what happened to Lot's family. Abraham chose the right place. Lot chose the wrong place. And he finds himself in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's taken captive. And now a messenger comes and informs Abraham that Lot has been taken captive. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, and he dwelt in the plain of Mamre. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them on to Dan. Here we have the rescue of a fallen brother. Maybe you and I know of someone who has fallen by the wayside. Someone that has been taken captive by the god of this world. Found himself in bypass meadow, gone away into the far country. Once walked with God. Once stood for God. Once lived for God, but he has been taken captive. Let us then learn from Abraham how to rescue that fallen brother. I want you to notice, first of all, Abram and the report that was given to him. The Lord in His providence allowed someone to escape from Kedar Laomer, who went and told Abram. We read the words in verse 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, told him about Lot had been taken captive. If we're to be like Abraham, if we're to be used in lifting up a fallen brother or rescuing someone who's backslidden, then we must take a closer look at this man. Because not every Christian would be like Abraham. Tell some believer about so and so. He's fallen into the world again. He's following the Lord afar off. Many of them would say, well, sure, what's that to me? They would turn a deaf ear. That's not the way of the Lord. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, note the words of Paul. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, we're all just men. Any one of us can fall. That's all we are. We're just flesh and bone. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. He appeals to the spiritual. Abraham was a spiritual man. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The appeal then was made to a spiritual man in the person of Abraham. Notice his separation. Take heed to the words of verse 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. Abram the Hebrew. Why? Why has the Holy Spirit of God, the author of this book, drawn our attention to this fact? Why did the Spirit of God not just record the words, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram? No, told Abram the Hebrew. I believe this highlights part of Abram's separation. Because remember, Abraham was dwelling in the midst of Canaanites. Remember, he was in a confederacy with a number of men that were Canaanites. It would have been very easy, very tempting for Abraham to compromise his position. But no, the very fact that Abraham is set apart here from the Canaanites, he's described as Abram the Hebrew. That highlights his separation. He wasn't a Canaanite, he was a Hebrew. And even though he was amongst his friends, he could have compromised, let down his standards, become like the Canaanites, so that you couldn't have distinguished him from the Canaanites. But that was not the case. Abram, the Hebrew. Dear believer, may we have that testimony in this world. It's easy to compromise. It's easy to let down our standard. And we can let down our standard so much that we end up becoming like the world. We don't bear any distinguishing mark. And people don't know we're saved. They don't know we belong to the Lord. They don't know that we belong to Christ. Oh, may it be said of us, so-and-so the Christian, so-and-so the child of God, as it was said of Abraham the Hebrew. Messenger knew who to go to. Knew to go to a spiritual man. Knew to go to a separated man. And we notice his station. Attention is given by the Holy Spirit to where Abram and Lot dwelt. Chapter 13, verse 12. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. Again, emphasis is placed upon where they dwelt, where they set up their station. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. Chapter 14. Verse 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom. Verse 13. The messenger told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plains of Mamre. So there's something very important about where these men dwelt. Lot was in Sodom because of a decision he had made. Abraham was in the plain of Mamre because of the direction he had been given by the Lord. Lot was in the wrong place. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he was taken captive. We find ourselves in the wrong place with God. We'll be taken captive by this world. The backslider has been taken captive by this world. Abraham, on the other hand, was in the right place at the right time. Where was Abraham? He was in the plain of Mamre. How did he come to be there? The Lord directed him there. He was in the Lord's place. Therefore, he was in the right place. And being in the right place, being in the Lord's place, he was used to rescue Lot. Believer, if we want to be used by God, we need to be in the right place for God. We need to be like that lad. Heard the loaves and the fishes. Andrew went to the Lord and said, there is a lad here. There's a lad here. Where was he? He was in the right place. He was in the place where the Lord could use him. And he did use him. Believer, we need to be in the right place with God. We want to be used by the Lord. And if we want to be used in lifting up the fallen, we want to be used in rescuing the perishing, be like Abraham. Then we notice, thirdly, his sympathy. Why did the messenger go straight to Abram? No doubt it was because he was related to Lot. He was Lot's uncle. But I believe he went there also because he knew that of all the people in the household of Abraham, Abraham would have been sympathetic. to the plight of Lot. After all, he was indeed his nephew. There would be some believers and there would be no point in going to them and telling them about a brother who has fallen by the way. Oh, may the Lord give us a heart like Abraham. Paul told the Thessalonians, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Abram believed that. Lot was his weak nephew. And so when the messenger went to Abram, he went to one whom he knew would be sympathetic to Lot's cause. That's the heart the Lord Jesus has. We see it when he defended the woman from the criticism of the disciples, when she anointed the Lord with the alabaster box of ointment. All the disciples criticized her. But the Lord was sympathetic to her cause and he stood up for her and said, "Let her alone." We see it when he went to the side of the man who was born blind, and after the Lord had healed him, the old Pharisees excommunicated him. And we are told the Lord sought him. Or when the Lord found him, the Lord wanted to support the weak, comfort the feeble-minded. We see it also when he went to the side of Peter. Before the crucifixion, the last view he had of Peter was when Peter went out and wept bitterly after denying the Lord. And yet after his resurrection, the Lord had a private, personal meeting with Peter. Nobody else was there. He was there to support the weak, comfort the feeble-minded. Believer, is not what we want. A heart like Christ. We often sing, "I want, dear Lord, a heart that feels for all. A deep, strong love that answers every call. A love like thine, a love divine, a love for high and low on me. Dear Lord, a heart like this bestow." And so we have Abram and the report that was given to him. And then we have Abraham and his readiness to go. In verse 14, we see that readiness on the part of the great patriarch to go to the aid of Lot. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. Abram was ready to go to the aid of his fallen brother. May we show the same readiness. I see here, first of all, his loyalty. Up until this point, we have seen Lot as the nephew of Abram. chapter 12, verse 31, chapter 13, verse 5. He's always referred to as the son of his brother. But now a change takes place. We read in verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive. His brother, now he's called his brother. Abram doesn't only look upon him as his nephew, he looks upon him as his brother. His spiritual brother. Abram could easily have dismissed the whole thing. He could easily have said, well, what's that to me? He could easily have said, well, it serves him right. Look where he went and pitched his tent. He deserves it. But how Abraham looked upon the matter, because he saw that it wasn't just a nephew that had been taken captive. It was his own spiritual brother. So when he went out and pursued Lot, he did not go to the aid of Lot simply because of family ties. He went in the pursuit of Lot because of spiritual ties. Because Lot was his brother in the Lord. And it wasn't because he was a member of the Masonic Lodge or a member of some secret society that he demonstrated this loyalty. For people in those organizations, oh, we have to stick together. We have to be loyal one to the other. It's not what was on Abraham's mind. Abraham had this sense of loyalty because a brother was in trouble. Let us again remember the words of Paul in Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But look on down the chapter. Verses 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially. Paul is here teaching us that we are to look after, we are to care for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that would apply to us in a very special way when a brother or sister has fallen by the wayside. His loyalty, his leadership. Turn again to our text. Verse 14, Genesis 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. When news of Lot's captivity and capture came to Abraham, Abraham knew exactly what to do. You notice that? He knew exactly what to do. He didn't go about wringing his hands and saying, "Oh dear, what am I going to do with that nephew of mine?" He knew exactly what to do. He reminds me of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And Abram knew what to do and how to do it. He first of all armed his trained servants. I like that. I'm glad Abraham wasn't a pacifist. He believed in taking up arms. He armed his servants. I'm glad he wasn't a fatalist either. I'm glad he didn't say, "Oh dear, Lot is in the hands of Kedorlaomer. There's nothing we can do." We may look out on a brother who has fallen, say, "Oh, there's nothing we can do." Nonsense. We can do what Abraham did. He was going to rescue Lot, and he was going to use arms to do it. This shows us to get Lot back. Abraham was expecting a battle. He was expecting a battle. Believer, if we want to lift up that fallen brother, win him back for the Lord and win him back from the enemy, we may expect a battle. Because the world is not going to give him up easy. We're going to have to fight and fight with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the weapons of our warfare, the weapons that we have, listen, are mighty through God. The weapons that we have in our possession are more powerful than all the swords and spears and guns and cannons that all the armies ever possessed. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So to raise up that fallen brother or sister, we need to be girt about with truth. We need to have on the breastplate of righteousness. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And above all, we need to take the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And what else will we need? We'll need the helmet of salvation. And we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh yes, and prayer. If you want to apply it to a weapon, we need the spear of prayer. But look again at the text. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. Look in your margin. And you'll see that the word armed there means led forth. And so Abraham not only armed his men, but he led them forth. There's his leadership. Why didn't the messenger go to the right man when he went to Abram? He knew that in Abraham there would be a leader. So Abraham leads the fight. He had the heart for it. He led the fight. to get Lot back again, to rescue his fallen brother. May we lead the fight to rescue that fallen brother or sister. We've considered his loyalty. We've considered his leadership. Now this might surprise you. We want to consider his lectures. His lectures? What had Abraham's lectures to do with the rescue of Lot? Well, we read there that when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants. You know, there's something quite remarkable here. We discovered that Abraham had been preparing for that day of war. Remember, when we get to chapter 14 of Genesis, it's the first time we read about a battle. It's the first war recorded in Scripture. And even though there had been no battles or wars prior to that, yet we discover that Abraham had already trained his men in war. He was preparing for the day of battle. Believer, you and I need always to be ready and prepared for the day of battle. For the day will come when indeed we will have to do battle with the devil if we haven't already done so. But he armed his trained men. Then we turn to the Bible margin and we discover the word trained may be translated instructed. He armed his instructed men, his instructed servants. Abraham had already taught them how to use their weapons of war. He had lectured them. Now they were ready. There was no point in them holding a sword if they didn't know how to use it. There was no point in them having a spear if they didn't know how to handle it. They needed to be instructed, and they were. And believer, when we come up against the devil and seek to rescue the fallen, well, we need to be well trained. We need to know how to use the sword of the Spirit. We need to know how to use the shield of faith, because our faith will be tested. We need to know how to handle the spear of prayer. We need to be well trained. But if we're not well trained, and a friend, a brother, a sister, a relative backslides, and we want to rescue them, we'll not know what to do. We need to be well trained. And then we have his laborers, or his laborers. You will notice that Abraham chose the servants born in his own house. 318, verse 14. We're specifically told that he armed his trained servants born in his own house. Here we have his people. Now remember again that according to verse 13, Abram dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, the brother of Eshcol, brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. But whenever Abraham embarked upon his rescue mission, he didn't ask these men of the Confederacy to help him. He didn't solicit the help of the Canaanites. No, he restricted himself to those who were born in his own house. In other words, he got the help of his own people. Dear believer, the Canaanites of our day do not care when a brother falls. They do not care when a Christian backslides. In all probability, they gloat over it. Oh, see him, he's supposed to be a Christian. Look what he's doing now. Look how he's behaving now. So we can't turn to the world. Who do we turn to? We turn to God's own people. We see that the people Abraham turned to shared his burden for Lot. So they went out with Abraham under his leadership to rescue this brother in distress. Notice also his party. He had a party of 318 men. Now you would say, Abraham, don't be foolish. You'll never be able to recover Lot with only 318 men. You're going out against a king, a powerful king. King Chedorlaomer. But Abraham did not go in his own strength. Neither did he go out by sight. Abraham went out. For we read in verse 20, and Melchizedek blessed the Most High God which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. The Lord was with them. And again, when we see that brother that needs to be rescued, the old devil will come and say, you've no hope. You'll never rescue him. You'll never get him back from the world now. He's too far gone. Oh, believer, let us go into the fight by faith. Well armed, with the God of heaven on our side, with God's people with us, praying for us, supporting us, praying for that backslidden saint of God. Then notice further his pursuit. We're told in our text that Abraham and his 318 men pursued them unto Dan. Abraham dwelt in the plain of Mamre. Dan was way up north. Dan was about 300 miles away. When you speak of Dan, you talk about Dan and Beersheba. You're talking about the two extreme points in Israel. Two extreme geographical points in the land. And so in pursuit of Lot, Abraham went way up north to the extreme point of the land. Abraham was determined to rescue his brother. You know, believer, in the rescue of a brother, we need to go the second mile. Sometimes we need to go to extremes. We need to go all the way, even as Abraham did. And then finally you have Abram and the rescue that was great. As Abraham went in pursuit of his brother, we read in verse 15 what he did. He divided himself against them. He and his servants by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. He went away up north, and then he went out east. He went to Hobah. He divided himself. He divided his forces. He had only 318, but he divided them. Every man had something to do. Every man was responsible for something. Once again, they all shared his burden. Believer, that's the wonderful thing about having brothers and sisters in Christ. When we have someone who's near and dear to us, we can share the burden with them. Help us. They'll play their part to rescue that near and dear one and bring him back to the Lord. So he divided his forces. And then you have the deliverance for the fallen. Abram's pursuit and persistence was well rewarded. He had gone out, he had gone far. But he returned victorious. Verse 16, and he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother. My, what sweet words they are. He brought again his brother. What rejoicing I'm sure there was in that house. Brother embraced. A wayward brother had come home. When we together see that fallen saint rescued, we'll all rejoice together. Now, if Lot was delivered, it also means that the foe was defeated. And believer, is this not enough of an incentive to join together and to seek to lift that fallen child of God? Because when we know that whenever we bring him home, we know the devil has been defeated. And that ought to encourage us all. And that ought to be incentive enough to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying, snatch them in pity or sin and the grave, to weep o'er the erring one, to lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescuing fallen brother. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us bow in prayer.